for you? Nobody. There's nobody. Nobody can be against you. I'm telling you, if God is on your side, if He wants you to win, you're going to win.
And He does.
And He does. Yeah, and He does. And He does. If He wants you to be blessed, you will be blessed. If He wants you to inherit the kingdom, you will inherit the kingdom. So all you got to do is, yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. I was a sinner. I was unworthy. I had nothing going for me. But the Lord, in His mercy, in His grace, and in His power, promised to redeem me, rescue me, take me out of the world, the flesh, the devil. And I believe it. And if I believe it, that's not, I didn't make it so because I believed it. It was so, and I believed it because it was so. It was so. So I totally trust Him. I trust that the best is yet to come. I trust that the Antichrist is not the end. The Antichrist is just kind of a joke for us. For us. Because the Antichrist has no power over us. Did you know that? The Antichrist has no power over us. He has to have permission of God. Can I make Jim suffer a little bit? Oh yeah, God says. Because God knows I'll get A+ when I'm done. Yeah, go ahead. Get his flesh. He's got a little bit left. Go ahead, get him. Did you know that I trust God? If he lets the Antichrist get me and the devil get me and so on, it's no problem. It's not a problem. Why? I'm not afraid. Because I have God. When you have a rock underneath you, you're never going to sink. So what the devil does is only kills off your flesh, but he doesn't even touch the spirit. As a matter of fact, it helps me to purify the spirit. Hey, thanks, Satan. Appreciate that. So the Antichrist is not to be feared. We don't fear anything. Rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
That would include during the time of the Antichrist. Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, he'll get his comeuppance. He'll be judged. And he'll be judged because he tried to get at us. He'll be judged because he tried to hinder us and make us not whole. You know, kind of rob us and cheat us and scare us. But it doesn't scare me. Does he scare you?
No.
No. Who's afraid of the big, bad wolf? Nobody. We're not afraid. Why? Because we know the truth. The truth sets us free. If God be for us, who? Well, the Antichrist. I know, but he can't do anything. Why? Because he has to ask permission. Remember Job? He had to ask permission. God, can I give him a boil? Yeah, you can give him a boil. Can I take away his kids? Yeah. Can I take away all his money? Yeah. Can I take away his reputation? Sure. Okay, can I kill him? No. They had to ask permission. He said, just one thing. I don't want you to do one thing. You can do all you want to him, because he'll get an A+ in the end. Because he'll trust me. He'll do a little, you know, griping, complaining. But after he's all done with that little bit of flesh that he's got on him, I'll purify him. Then I'll give him twice as much as he had before. So much for your power. So you see, Satan isn't able to throw us. Amen. And not able to scare us. I want someone to stand up and say, I'm not afraid of Satan. Amen.
I'm not afraid of Satan.
Good, good. God likes that. Because you're the child of God. Can anything happen to us that would do us harm? No. So when we suffer, is that going to cause us harm? No. That's just chastening. The father that loves his son chastens him. Father that loves his son chastens him. Father that loves his son chastens him. And who cares how he does it? I'm not smart enough to figure out what I need. I don't know what I need. All I need is to get rid of all that flesh. All that flesh. And I may still have some. I may still have a little bit of flesh left in me. Does anybody else have a little bit maybe? Just a little bit. Not too much. Just kind of Christian flesh. A little bit of flesh. No, whatever it takes. I don't even judge myself. I don't even know, and I don't care what my sins are. All I know is that when you go through chastening, you get real close to God. He's like, God, okay, God, that's enough. That's too much. He said, no, Jim, just a little bit more. We're almost done. You're still concerned. You're still not praising me. Okay, praise you, praise you, praise you. Jim, that's not a trick to get rid of it. You know, just... I play all those tricks. I didn't play all those tricks with God, as though God weren't wise and smart. If he loves you, he'll chasten you. Now, if you're a bastard, if you're not one of his, he won't chasten you. Not going to chasten you. Do you know it does no good? It does no good to chasten someone who doesn't like you. So he's only chastening those that loves him. I love him. So he goes, yeah, it's okay. I have to discipline you because you're going to be a king's kid. You're going to rule and reign forever. So in order to be a good ruler, you have to be like me. How many are happy all the time? I mean, all the time. All the time. Well, you can say it by faith if you want. But you can say it by faith. But, you know, you really can be happy all the time in this world. Otherwise, God's a liar. He isn't just good for heaven. He's good for earth. All right. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. The first word in the Greek is always the one with the most important emphasis. So the emphasis is on the word, not like it says in English. In the English, it doesn't even say it. It says, for the law having a shadow. But that's not what it says. It starts out with which word? Can you guess? No, not law. Ho, nomos, that's the law. That's not the first word. And for is not the first word. Gar. It's not gar. It's not honomos.
Good
is not the one either. That's agathos. It's not agathos either. It's the one you're not thinking of.
Shadow.
Skia. Skia. And the word is eskia or eskiazo. Okay, so eskia means, you know what a shadow is? A shadow, here's a shadow underneath these chairs up here. Well, let's see. There's a shadow on the wall back there. See the plant? It has a shadow. Now, the plant's the real thing, but the shadow is not. So he's saying the law having a shadow. In other words, that's all it is. The law. How many know you're not under a shadow? We just sang it. It said shadow and light. I praise you for your holiness and so on and so forth. And it said that God's light, in the light of His glory, I see my shadow. I'm not afraid of shadows. Why? Because shadows aren't real. What's real is not the law. The law is not God's heart. The law is not God's heart. The law is God not. It's not. So the law is not God. Let's say you broke the law. Let's just imagine one of you sinned and broke the law. Am I close? Is anybody? Did that touch anybody? So we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, that's not the glory of God. The law just shows you that wasn't the glory of God. Oh, you weren't happy. Oh, you didn't know how great it was. You didn't have a wonderful time every minute of every second of every day. Woohoo! 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 Y'all having fun? Isn't it exciting to be God's child? Don't you love Satan and Antichrist and, you know, all the problems and troubles and Obamacare and all the nonsense that's going on? You know, he's just flat wrong. He's just wrong. But it doesn't matter. I don't even care if he wins. I don't care if he loses. I don't care about him at all. It's not mine. I don't belong to him. He's not speaking my language at all. That's not the Constitution. That's not the way we started out. And I don't really care whether he wins or loses or anybody else does. My God has already won. I'm already safe. I'm secure. And I'll do everything in my power to defeat him, but I really don't care. Because I've already won. How can I lose when I've always won? It's fun to fight a battle when you've already won.
Amen.
Because then you don't have, you know, any distraction. Because after all, the battle's not ours. It's the Lord's. Does the Lord have anyone down here that he would like to, you know, keep a nice government for rather than an oppressive, satanic, demonic tyranny? You know, because that's what Obamacare is, and that's what all of his stuff is. Because he's just a revisionist. He's just a big government tyrant. He's just, you know, the thing we broke away from England for. Yeah, we're all back. We're all back now to that nonsense. George Bush wasn't much better, but the point is that there's either right and wrong. It's either right or it's wrong. There's not two visions, two dreams, two doctrines, two truths. There's only one. There's only one for you. There's only one for religion. There's only one for your family. There's only one for the church. There's only one for the nation. There's only one for economics. There's only one. God's truth. That's it. And so we don't have any common cause. We have no common cause with England. Never did and never will. Never did, never will. Unless they turn to Jesus and adopt our Constitution, you know, we don't have anything in common. Not socially, not politically, not economically, not spiritually, not in any way. So, you know, we had nothing in common. The founders didn't break away from England. They were already broke. They believed in free enterprise. In England, it was mercantilism. They believed in, you know, all men being equal under the law. In England, the rich had certain laws and the poor had certain laws and so on. So they had a different caste system, totally different view of society, that some people are better than others, all that kind of nonsense. We don't believe in any of that. We don't have nobility and titles and all that kind of stuff. We believe a pastor is just a nobody, just an average person. Amen? That's me. I'm not important. I get up and talk because God told me to. And you listen because God told you to listen and to obey. You know, but a lot of you don't. But it's okay. I don't care. You know, I'm just doing my job because I'm not more important than anybody. I'm not important than Peggy washing the dishes. Her washing the dishes, me preaching a sermon is exactly the same. It's just you do what God tells you to do. And everybody submits to whatever it is God tells you to do. If you told me to sweep the floor, I'll sweep the floor. And I'll do it with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Amen. I do a lot of things that I wouldn't choose for myself. But God just says, that's your job right there. Do it to my glory. Amen? So I don't care if tomorrow I'm dead. I don't care if tomorrow I'm, you know, sweeping the floor. I don't care. I don't care if I'm in prison. I don't care. I don't care if I'm sick. I don't care if I'm poor. I don't care. So with God, all things are, you know, in His hands. And so He likes me. I know He does. I'll rise to the top no matter what. Put me in prison, I'll be like Joseph. Pretty soon I'll be the Pharaoh. Did you know you can get to the top any way God wants you to? He can overnight change the whole world. He can change any business or any life. You can be sick one day and well the next. You can be poor one day and wealthy the next. Did you know that? And I'm ready for it. Come ahead, God. Go for it. You know, do it. It's nothing to me. But if you have a lot, then you're responsible for a lot. If you have nothing, then you're not responsible for much. How many know that some of you have nothing? If you have nothing, that's good. You're not responsible for anything. But if you have something, then you're responsible. So whatever you have, you're responsible for it. Amen? You're not responsible for somebody else's life. Oh, he got more than I got. She was more blessed than I was. That has nothing to do with you. Just enjoy your life. Enjoy your situation. Woohoo! Woohoo! Glory! Oh, God, don't give me anything else but this. I love this. It's quite a challenge for you to bring glory out of this one. Quite a challenge for you. I suppose I'm a little bit of a challenge. I suppose, you know, you might have to break me. How many know that God has to break you? Why? Why would He break you? So He can give you something better. Why do we tear down an old building so we can build a new one? Why do we remodel an old house so we can build it better? We just simply tear things down to build them up better. Did you know God does that? So why does He give you anything in your life? Well, so that He can give you something better. He is never destroying you, judging you, suffering you, except to bless you. There's always, always hope after judgment for us. For us. And for those that, you know, hate suffering and problems, and they're looking for emotional happiness all the time, ain't going to happen. Ha-ha. Not going to happen. Did you ever look for emotional happiness all the time? Ain't going to happen. Ha! I wasn't looking for it. I just wanted truth. Just give me the truth, Lord. Give me the truth. Just say the truth. I don't want happiness. Forget happiness. Forget what it's going to cost. Just truth. At all costs, truth. And then I got happiness. And I wasn't even looking for it. I wasn't even looking for it. And now I'm happy as can be. Because the truth will set you free. The truth sets you free. So now I'm happy. You know, it's happy being free. In some countries, they can't even leave the country. They're not free. They can't buy a big house. They can't move on this street or that street. You know, they can't do a lot of things. But we have freedom. Why? Because we put Jesus first. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. I tried that pasture and it didn't work. I love it. Okay, well then just gripe and complain. I mean, you know, if you call God a liar, so what? It's you that the liar. Because you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, rejoice always. Just do what He says. See if it doesn't work.
I don't want to. I tried it and it didn't work. Things got worse.
I love those testimonies. The more I tried to please God, the harder it got. Really, I don't know. It's not my experience. I don't know your experience. I mean, mine is just I rejoice all the time. I don't really care. You're into emotional happiness. I can tell right away you don't want truth. You want emotional happiness. You don't want all the flesh to be gone and exposed. You want happiness. Ah, never going to get it. You're not going to get it. Because truth is the thing. Happiness is a byproduct. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. I heard that. So he wants you to be happy. That's just not your goal. Your goal is to trust in the Lord because of all your sins. So I would worry about that first. Maybe you have some more sins.
I've already seen 15,000.
Well, you got another 30 or 40, I'm sure. Just go for it. Did you know that God every day can reveal a new sin, Tim? He can show you a new sin. It's usually, though, the same one he showed you the day before that you still haven't rejoiced over and got free from. Aren't you glad you have me as a pastor?
Uh-huh. That's good. Yes.
All right. For the law having a shadow. So the law is a shadow. So the shadow on the wall is not the plant. It's the shadow. It's not the real thing. The real thing, eikon, like icon, eikon, E-I-K-O-N, in the Greek, that's the real thing. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ because he is your life. Your life is not you. It's him. And you stand before God not as a shadow, under a shadow, being foreshadowed, but you stand in the real thing, grace, the gospel, good news. Woohoo! Good news. Now, look, here's the law, chair one, here's the law, and over here is the gospel. This is the good news. So you can divide these two, and I do. I make this distinction. I don't want to be under the law because under the law as a shadow. I want to be under the gospel. Now, you say, wasn't the law good? Oh, yeah. The law is good. But it's not good in itself. It's just the shadow of the light. The light produced a shadow. Here's the light out there, God, the sun, you know, whatever. God's shining on this plant, and then the shadow is on the wall. But the shadow is good because it shows you that there's a real thing somewhere. The plant and the light out there that's shining happily on that plant. So if the law having a shadow of good things to come, oh, so the law is actually a shadow of something good to come. So it's not just a shadow, it's a foreshadowing. It's not just a shadow, it's a foreshadowing. In other words, when the law came, it wasn't the perfect thing, but it was referring to the perfect thing. The perfect thing is the plant. So the plant, this is the perfect thing that God was good thinging. And this is the shadow back here. And Moses was telling the people, don't sin. But that's nothing. To don't sin isn't salvation. Here's the right thing is worship the Lord. That's the real thing. Well, I can't do it. No, not under the law. But you can do it with Christ in you, the hope of glory. Woo-hoo! So now I have nothing to worry about because I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. You know, that's just joyful to me. Because I definitely have no ambiguity about my sinfulness, my wickedness, my selfishness, my nastiness, my boringness, whatever. I have no expectation of anything good should ever happen to me. I don't have it. From Peggy can tell you, I have never said, you owe it to me, or you should be kind to me. She's never heard me say that, and never will. I've never even thought it in my life that anyone owed me anything. Now, I used to steal things, just take it from people, because they didn't owe it to me. I just took it. I just took it. If I wanted something, I just take it. I steal it. And there's a lot of ways you can do it, by the way. You don't have to actually steal it like steal it, but I did that too. But you can just do it in subtlety. You can trick people. You can be a deceiver, a con artist. And I was a master con artist. I love it. Makes good preparation for pastoring. Amen. It does, because a lot of pastors are con artists. Did you know that? They're really out for sex. And, you know, so they preach all this Jesus stuff and then they want to sleep with everybody. I don't. Never have, never will. Ever. Now, or they're out for money. You know, maybe they're out for money. I'm not out for money either. We cut back on our salaries, try to get to zero, try to get it down as low as possible. because there's no money in the till, so you don't take anything. But I'm not out for money. That doesn't mean anything to me. It goes down to zero. Yahoo! Praise the Lord. I have a God who will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. He'll find some way to do it. In fact, I'll even fund the church myself. You know what? God is my gold. God is my silver. God is my supply. God is the one that takes care of me. I don't want anything or need anything. Isn't that fun? What a fun way to live. So we don't have any needs that God hasn't met. He isn't going to meet them. He's already met them. So I don't have any fears, no doubts. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect, 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 perfect. So when you have the shadow, you have the imperfect. Notice, the shadow was good. It said, don't do bad. God hates bad. Okay, fine. But I did it. He said, that's okay, because I'm going to shine on you. The light's going to shine on this plant, and even though the plant threw the shadow, the law is going to show him that he did wrong. God can give you a new heart. He can make a new plant. He can turn you into a new plant. If he wants to. A new being. How many have been born again? I've been born again. You know, how many have been born again? You're not your mother and father's baby. You're now born again of heaven. Jesus is your father and mother. You don't need a father and mother on this earth. Stop looking to a father and mother. You're grown up. You're no longer four. You're no longer six. You're now 18. If you're over 18, you're on your own. You know, now it's your fault. Maybe prior to 18 it was somebody else's fault. Now it's yours. Grow up. Time to take responsibility. If I'm unhappy, it's my fault. Not, oh, my mother did this, and my father did that, and so-and-so did this, and, you know, Obama did that. Come on, stop blaming other people. Satan did this and that. So who cares about all those people? I only care about one thing. My Father in heaven loveth me. And He forgives all my sins. Then He blesses me beyond measure. I can't even count it. Peggy can tell you, I'm just radiant. It's one of the things that irritated. She says it doesn't irritate her anymore, but it did irritate her for a long time. You know, I was happy going to heaven and love Jesus and so on. You know, and you shouldn't. You know, you weren't a good husband at all. I know. I don't hide that. I don't hide that. I don't care. I never cared. I never had a guilt conscience or anything like that. I'm sorry. I never listened to the law, never cared about the law, never cared about God, didn't care what He said or thought or did. I just did my own thing. But, you know, it didn't lead to happiness, I'll tell you that. When I did everything I wanted to do, it didn't lead to happiness. It just doesn't. You know, you can find misery in two ways. One is to never get anything, and the other is to get everything. You could get it both ways. And so, if you get everything going your way, because you, whatever, however it came, maybe you inherited it or whatever, it'll just kill you. It'll destroy you. You're not going to find happiness in this world. Not going to find happiness. You're not going to find life. Little kids are all dumb. Little kids are all dumb. They're really dumb. Because they think, when I grow up, I'll be able to get a red convertible, you know, play my boom box as loud as I can, and on and on and on. And they just think, you know, I'll get my own money. I want a job of my own. Yeah, I hope you haven't thought of that, Grace. You know, I just want to make my own money so I can make my own decisions. That's when the trouble begins. I'm going to marry who I want. That's when the trouble begins. That's where the trouble begins. So you think being free is free? No, it isn't. You know, that can just be licentious, where you make your own decisions, you discover how stupid you are and how deceiving other people are. I'm stupid and they're deceptive. Has anyone ever discovered that? I must be stupid because I just married that person. And he was deceptive or she was deceptive because she pretended she was this and that and so on and so forth. I love it. Don't you love growing up, getting knowledge and wisdom? You ever made an investment that didn't work? I mean, I made tons of them, you know. And almost none of them worked. I think one or two might have worked. Praise God. But it was surely God. It is the one thing I didn't think would work, and that was the only one that did work. But, you know, it's not a big deal. I just learned that I'm not very brilliant. Because I knew that I knew. Peggy would ask, did Jesus tell you to do that? Oh, yeah. I would just say right away, you know, because she was questioning my instincts, my good economic instincts. Peg, if we invest in this gold stock, it'll go right through the roof, I'm telling you. And then I said something like this. Well, you know, for that to go down, the whole United States would have to go. Sure enough, it did. And so, you know, you learn that you're not very smart. Stick to preaching, you know, just do what God told you to do. Just skip all that other stuff. Okay. Now, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Remember I said it was a foreshadowing, even though it says shadow. The law is actually a foreshadowing. In other words, what God originally intended when he gave the law was the gospel. When God gave the law from heaven, he didn't give the law so anyone would do it. He gave the law so you'd realize you couldn't. The only purpose of the law was to tell you not to do bad things. It was never to force you to do good things. The only purpose of the law was not to tell you to do good things. Because what good would that do? Do good things when you have an evil heart. So he never wanted anyone to obey him from the heart. But he intended to have people that would obey him from the heart. But he didn't want them to do it. He wanted to do it for them, in them, through them. To God be all the glory. To God be the glory. So little kids, when they're born into the family, they don't know how to do anything. They don't know anything. It's up to you, the parent, to intend to do good things for them rather than to abuse them. And it generally works out that parents kind of like their kids and want them to win and so on and so forth. So that's general. But in specific instances, it doesn't always work out that way. It doesn't always work out that way. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference how it works out, because God can overrule parents. God is even better than your parent. God is a better parent than your parent, which is a parent. So, if God is for you, who can be against you? Who? Nobody. 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 If God is for you, you're going to win. In fact, you've already won. Enter into my rest. Come unto me, all of you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, I'm gentle, lowly of heart. You know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You don't know. I tell you, this is just, how can you read another verse in the Bible? I mean, would you read that? It's like, hey, I'm sticking on this verse right here. This is a good verse. Come unto me, all you that labor. Yeah, I've been laboring. You know, heavy laden. Yeah, that's me. Heavy laden. And I will pay you a reward so that you can get some rest. No, I will give it to you. I'll just give it to you. I'll give you rest. In other words, give me your burden. Put your burdens on to me. You be the wife, I'll be the husband, Jesus said. So Jesus just takes all your burdens. Says, here, give them to me, give them to me, give them to me. Now, if you listen to the law, which is a good thing, by the way, the law is a good thing. It's just not perfect. The law is good because it shows you not to do bad. God hates bad. God doesn't like anything that isn't of God. God only likes things that are of God. And so he just says, I hate anybody who goes on their own, who's independent, who goes astray, who gripes, complains, moans, and so on, because I'm a good God, and there's nothing in me, but there's no shadow in me. I'm perfect light. I'm nothing but light and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness. I am a good God. All the other gods are liars. Buddha's a liar. Muslim, lying. They have no God at all. They know nothing of God. They don't know God. None of the other religions are worth a bean. They're nothing. They're nothing. Sorry. Homosexuality is wrong. Adultery is wrong. All kinds of things are wrong. But you are loved. You see, he doesn't like the Muslim religion because it's a lie. And he doesn't like hypocritical, legalistic Christianity because it also is a lie that says, I'm going to keep the law. Oh, you're not. Well, I'm born again now. I can do it. No, you still can't. It's still Jesus in you. It's still Jesus. And the proof of that is that every day you still sin. Every day you still are griping and complaining and so on. Don't feel guilty about it. Just be a good griper. Want to be a griper? Be a good griper. Gripe in the right in the face of Jesus. Put your finger up into his nose. I love it. Don't you love that? So, you didn't do good. You didn't do good.
I did good. I never got a reward.
I love that. Did you know people are like that in this church? Do you know there are people like that in this church? Well, that's evil. That's evil. But you know what? God loves evil people. He doesn't care that you're a snotty little kid, spoiled brat, want everything for you. You're looking for emotional happiness rather than truth. Spiritual truth is better than emotional happiness. You get the one, you get the other. You grab the other one, you get nothing. You don't get anything. You're looking for happiness, you don't get happiness or truth. You're looking for truth, you get both. I just say there's one thing that's right and everything else is wrong. There's only one thing that's right. There's only one doctrine. There's only one truth. There's only one vision. It's the one we have. Amen? Amen. Now, you might think I'm going to fade and go away because I'm old and whatever. There's not many people. I don't really care. This doctrine is true. So it doesn't really matter. If you get a hold of it, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you don't, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's no skin off my nose, and certainly God's not concerned. But it's your choice. It's your decision. If you believe, well, then it's over. Basically over. As soon as you believe in Jesus, it's over. He's not only a Savior that forgives, He's also a Lord that heals and transforms and protects and chastens and teaches and rebukes and does all kinds of things, but they're all for your good. And for the good of everybody else, too. And so, let Him have His way. I surrender all. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. I love that song. That's a good song. I surrender all. Why? Because you're my all in all. I trust you. I look to you for all things good, and that's all I've ever gotten. And I have no complaints, no gripes, no bad reports. Every report is a good one. God is so good. God is so good. I love singing that. I'm not very original. David can think of words, David. David, he can think of a lot of new songs and stuff. I just like the old simple songs. Hallelujah. I like the Amazing Grace one. I like that one. You know, saved a wretch like me. I like that one. I like to remember that. I like to recall that all the time, that I used to be a rotten, no good sinner. Now I'm a Christian who does rotten, no good sins, but I'm no longer a rotten, no good sinner. I used to be a wretch. Now I'm not a wretch. Now I'm a saint. But I still do wretched things. So don't be surprised. You know, keep your guard up. You have to test every spirit to see whether it be of God. Amen? And God wants you to. That's one of the reasons I'll never pretend like I'm great or awesome or wondrous or whatever. I don't want to. Because that's, you know, you have to make your own decision. The only way you could come to this church is if you believed in Jesus. You can't come because we have a steeple on the thing or because we do healings and miracles and, you know, whatever draws people. The only thing you get here is teaching about Jesus, and you're a rotten person without Jesus, and you're wonderful if you are, and so on. So it's just simple, simple stuff. But until you get the simple, we're not going to go on to the complicated. Until you get the simple, that you came in as a sinner, and there's a whole bunch of you that still haven't admitted yet that you were rotten to the core, that everything you ever did stunk. It was a stench in God's nostrils. And all your righteousness was a filthy rag. There's some of you who still believe you did a little bit of good, or that you should have, and you could have. Even after you're a Christian, you should have and couldn't have. There's no way. If there's any fruit that comes out of you, it's only because you were looking at Jesus, not because you were producing fruit and then noticing it. I just want to be honest here. I believe, blah, blah, blah. What a liar you are. What do you mean you're honest? What were you before? Nobody likes honesty. Honesty is nothing. I just want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. I don't really want to hear honesty. That's Freud. That's Jewish nonsense. Honesty. Well, I just want to be honest. That's just a good way to avoid God. Truth sets free, not honesty. So, just simply say the truth. It'll set people free. Don't be honest. Well, let me be honest. The dress you're wearing makes you look frumpy. What good does that do? I can tell you it doesn't do any good because I've said it to Peg. Peg, you should wear this rather than that. You know, you don't look good in that color or whatever. You know, that's not a good thing to say. Well, just tell me, what do you think of this? I don't like it. just want to hear that. So I've learned just to lie straight to her. You know, yeah, that's great. Looks good. Get two of them. Because she's into emotional happiness. She's not into truth. She wants emotional happiness. So I said, do you want me to hear, tell the truth? Well, you know, she's not sure. She's like, well, okay. I guess I asked. So I find people don't really mean what they say. But if you're a Christian, you should realize what a selfish person you are. Who could stand up and say, before I met Jesus, I was 100% selfish? Who could stand up and say that? Lynn. Nobody wants to stand up and say it. Yeah. Sit down and say it.
Before I met Jesus, I was so selfish.
Totally selfish?
Yeah, 100%.
Wow. What a brother. Love that.
Definitely.
You also?
The worst.
You're a kind person. Always smile.
Okay.
Yeah, just a deceiver. Yeah. I love that. The Bible is very clear. None have sought after God, he said. Remember that in Romans? It says that. None seeketh after God. No, not one. I mean, I don't know. I heard that and realized, well, I didn't. But apparently nobody did. That kind of confirmed a suspicion I had that people were hypocrites and liars and fakes and phonies. I knew I was. But I found out everybody else was too. And apparently I should have been the last in line. I just went right to the head of the class. Why? Because I was a rotten sinner and I knew it. And it was no big deal for me to say, did you love me? No. Did you love other people? No. You know, whatever. I didn't have any problem with that because I just knew what I was. And I had no cover. I had no props. I had no personality. I just invented my personality every few minutes. Let's see, I think in this person's case, I'll do this. And let's see, now here, these are church people. I won't swear there. Okay, over here, I'm going to steal because I'm among people that don't care about that. You know, and I just could make my way through life with no personality at all. I just wasn't anything. I was a complete nothing. Has anyone ever feared that you were nothing? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? You're not like that because of Jesus. You feel, you act, but that's not who you are. What you feel, what you think, what you want, what you do is not you. It's what Jesus Christ did when he went to the cross. So it's no longer you. So you just say to yourself, even though I feel that way, it's not me. I'm the way Jesus is. Jesus is happy all the time. I'm happy all the time. So he gave his life. My life is hid. My life is hid with God in Christ. Well, there it is. He is my righteousness. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my all in all. So he goes to the Father because I go to the Father. That's why you're righteous. Because I go to the Father. Why? Because he is your righteousness and he's with the Father and he speaks on your behalf and he intercedes for you day in and day out. Father, don't count that sin. I paid for that. I paid for that one. Oh, she just had a thought. That silly thought. Okay. Don't worry about that. So God only sees you through the blood of Jesus. His thoughts toward you are always thoughts of peace. I'm going to perfect Kathy no matter what. I'm going to perfect her. Because I know she knows she can't. In your better moments, I'm just a shadow. You know, in your better moments. But in your worser moments, you believe in yourself again. You recover. You resurrect yourself. I could be good. I might be good. I should be good. Those are all silly things. How many know Jesus is your righteousness? This is the reason we're happy. This is a good message for everybody. This message will go everywhere in the world. Now, will everyone believe it? Absolutely not. I think only a remnant will believe this. I don't know how big the remnant is. Sometimes the remnant could be bigger than the carpet you lay. But usually a remnant is a small throwaway piece on the end. That's us. Throwaway. We're throwaways. But God goes and buys all the remnants and patches them all up together. And then when he's done, it's gorgeous. It's like a mosaic. It's unbelievably beautiful. Amen? So he's building us together, making us all one. Mush, 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 mush. He mushes us all together like grapes in a wine vat. Pushes you together and you're rubbing up against somebody else's skin. Skin to skin. Ah, you're pressing on me. Did you ever get when somebody was pressing on you? You're pressing on me. And God's got his big old feet stomping on your grapes, you know, to all your stuff comes out. Rage. Yeah. Ah, I hate you. You know, you're not at all what I want. You're making my bad self come out. And then pretty soon all the wine becomes flowing together. Only the skins are tossed away. And you can't do that with grape raisins, by the way. Some of you are raisins. That probably wasn't Jesus. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, good things to come. What is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the perfect. When the perfect comes, the imperfect passes away. When you have something imperfect and then something perfect comes along, you sell all you can to buy that. This is perfect. This is the perfect husband. How many know that you have a husband that looketh imperfect? How many know that? Peggy. She was the first one up. Looketh imperfect. But is a gift of God just for me to break my grape skin. Yeah, that's the truth. And so the more stubborn, the more whatever, it doesn't hurt anything. Why? It just brings out my bad self. And it's okay because Jesus forgives people. He doesn't care. So when you all get into the wine vat, by the way, the wine isn't even drunk by the grape. It's drunk by somebody else. You know, you don't even get to drink your own wine. You're just flowing together for somebody else's benefit. Why? Because God loves you. That's why he's squashing you. He's squashing you and pressing you and pushing you and you know, going to get to the bottom till you have nothing left. Till you're just like, you know, God, I have nothing left. I can't yell at you anymore or scream anymore. I've done everything I can do. I'm just pathetic and poor and wretched and blind and naked and so on and so forth. That's good. That's the end of you. And he loves that. Hi. When he sees you all depleted, just pooed out, that's when he gets excited. Oh, how's it going? He can't even speak. That's what God likes. It's good. It's about time you were quiet. And he's just going to reduce you till you're absolutely, totally, 100% reduced. Now, don't wait till heaven because there's no anteroom like purgatory. Once you die, it's over. You don't go to purgatory. You don't go to some anteroom porch where you kind of fix it up in the narthex or something. No, you just go straight in. And there it is, judgment. Boom, just like that. So when you die, it's over. This is the only time. This is the day of salvation now. And you can't later then burn up for years and thousands of years and ten thousands and hundreds of thousands of years. And by the way, they never could really fix a date on people. They just said it shortened. The more Hail Marys you do and the more candles you burn and so on and so forth and the more masses you attend, you've helped out Aunt Lizzie. It didn't help because there is no such place. So I'm not saying that to mock that religion. I'm saying that to mock that psychology that we have that after this world we're going to shape up. No, no. This is the world. This is the time. This is a real thing. Right now it's a test, but it's a real test. And your final exam comes at the end and you want to be able to get an A+ on your final. I'll let Jesus do it. Jesus, you give your answers. You give your answers. And he said, don't worry, Jim. I'll answer for you. I know you didn't know how to answer. So just when God asks you how to plead, just say innocent. As a matter of fact, perfect. Okay. So I know exactly how to answer. God will say, how do you plead? Innocent. Perfect, sir. And God is happy with me. Why? Because I didn't rely on me. I relied on Jesus. And then he'll ask me, based on what? What's your evidence? Where are your witnesses? And you're going to be my witnesses. Amen? Yeah. Oh, Pastor Jim was wondrous. He was such a perfect pastor. Well, he had his flaws. And you know, so you're going to be my witnesses, but I'm going to really call on Jesus. Jesus, what do you say? And he will overrule everybody.
Hallelujah.
He said, well, I don't know how Jim did in his church, but I know one thing. He loved me to pieces. He loved me to pieces. And you can't judge that. You don't know, huh? You don't know. But God knows. God knows my heart. And I'm a man after God's own heart. Why? Because I believe that He's good. I don't even believe I'm good. Never have, never will. I believe He is. I believe He's plenteous in mercy. I believe He's awesome in power. I believe He doeth wonders. And because I believe that, He counts that as righteousness. And you know why? Because I just read the book. I just read it in the book. I just read it in the book. I just read it and said, this is God's heart right here. He manifested His intention. And when He gave the law, He never gave it to be the light. The law was simply to expose the darkness. It was a light, but it wasn't the light. It was an imperfect light. It said, don't do this and don't do that. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. So, now what can I do? He's almost not at everything. How many know that God almost don't let you do anything? It's like He has no confidence in me at all. He can't do it this way, He can't do it that way, He can't do it this way. But, you see, the gospel isn't a law. The gospel has no law. So, doing right, there's no law for it. It's just that when you obey God, you have to do it from the heart. And I never did. I never did. When I did it, it was never from the heart. So I was a hypocrite. How many are hippos? You know, because you did it, you didn't do it from the heart. You didn't do it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. So all you did was the shadow. Wasn't the real thing. For the law, having a shadow of things, good things, melonta, good things, agathos melonta, or melonta agathos, good things. And what are those? The things to come. And not the very image of the things. And that's the word akon or icon. The very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, make perfect the comers too. So when you're under the law, now I want to be real clear. Moses is not the good news. That is wrong. That is now evil. It wasn't evil. For a season, that was good enough that a man should just get under the law and realize he didn't do everything God said. I'm not perfect. Now get over here where you are. It's just a free gift. And all you have to be to qualify is a rotten, no good sinner. Do you see how I pre-qualified? I was everything you weren't supposed to be, and I was nothing that you were supposed to be. And that's what Jesus said. I'm looking for sinners. Me. Me. So, did you kill me? Uh-huh. Well, did you feel bad about it? Uh-uh. Did you break my Father's laws? Uh-huh. Did you ever feel guilty about that? Uh-uh. Okay, you're the one I'm looking for. What? Me? You're kidding. You love me? I laughed right in his face. It took me 7 years to think about that. Literally, from 1964 until 1970, or 671, whatever it was. Take notes. Whatever. It was a long time. And I had to think about that. That's too good. That cannot be right. That is, no. I don't think Christians even know that. Am I the first one that's getting a hold of this one? It's like, You can't save sinners. Maybe the good people that are pretending. Let's say this is the pretending Christian type, nice people that have a little bit of good in them. No, is that this group I have no word for. They'll perish. I call them liars. They really are one of these, but they don't want to be one of these, not knowing that I only save these. I don't save these. I don't save these. These are the ones in the valley of decision that curse God when the judgments fall on them. The hypocrites. Not the wicked. Not the evil, wicked, nasty ones. Those are the ones that believed in Jesus. Now, we have to get that good news out to them, and we're talking to the wrong people. Normally, we're trying to get, you know, Christians to whatever. Is they aren't really Christians. They're Christians in name. They don't love God with all their heart. And if they do, they have bad theology, and I blame all the pastors for that, and therefore maybe the people will get in, after all. Maybe a lot of people who actually are what you just said, you know, well, I think I'm one of those. Okay, it's okay. Maybe your pastor will get in trouble for that.
So that's why I answered, so I didn't get in trouble.
And don't forget that when you know, when you give the answer, Pastor Jim, made that very clear.
y'all don't like what I do, but that's okay.
Make the comers thereunto perfect. The law cannot make the comers thereunto perfect. Moses is no help. Moses exposes. But he doesn't help anybody. Huh. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. In other words, everybody who's made a sacrifice for God is a liar. Everybody who ever did anything for God is a liar. You never did anything for God. God did something for you. That's it. And it's so perfect that your imperfect thing doesn't count with him. The law condemns everything you ever thought, said, or did, felt, imagined, intended. It's all evil. You see, the purpose of the law is to condemn not only that group, but this group. This is the one that the New Testament's all about. That's the one the Old Testament's about. The Old Testament says don't sin. The New Testament says you have. Stop being a hypocrite. And it condemns everybody. Remember Jesus on Sermon on the Mount? You've heard it said of old, thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you, even if you thought about it. Wow, he deepened he made that net a little tighter. It just didn't catch the bad guys, it caught the good guys, because all your righteousness is a filthy rag. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Come unto me, all you that labor. I mean, these people aren't laboring very hard. They're just sinning. How many know that's not hard? I always went the easy way. I always did what was, you know, shortest distance between two points, a straight line. I remember that in, you know, geometry or something. And it was like, I never forgot. Hey, yeah, that's good. You could go this way or this way. Why go through the counter and pay when you can just steal it, stick it in your pocket, and walk out? Shortest distance between. Anyway, you see how I reasoned? That was me, because I just wanted to justify whatever I wanted to do. So it isn't that I felt like doing it or thought of doing it. It's just that I wanted to. And I stole. I didn't even need to steal. I just liked doing it. I loved doing it. I loved cheating people. I loved deceiving people. I loved it. You see, God doesn't commend me for that. He just recognizes that's who you are. And I do too. I never argued with him. I never said, oh, God, please, you know, overlook my sins or something. You know, just have mercy upon me, a sinner. Remember the guy in the temple who beat his breast? God, have mercy upon me. The other guy standing there, two groups right here, they're both the same, exactly. Oh, God, I thank God I'm not like this pig over here, this slob, this jerk, this evil, no good person. This guy over here is, I am evil and no good, just like that guy said. But he thought the other guy was good. That was a little mistake on his part. But he went home justified. That one never got there. God only loves sinners. So, do you have a sinful life? Has everybody here sinned at least once? Good. Very good. Number two. Did that sin come from nowhere or did it come from somebody? It came from you. You're the tree that produced that fruit. Not only does he forgive the sin, he takes away the tree. He lays the axe to the root of the tree. Right? When he says he lays the axe to the root of the tree, he's talking about you, yourself, you. Your personality, you who are pretending. He lays the axe to this tree right here, Jewish hypocrite liars, because the law makes nothing perfect, only the gospel. Here it is. God puts Jesus forth for you as your sub. He's your substitute. He's the real you. This is what God intended. That's a shadow of things to come. This is the real thing. That just says, don't do bad. This one says, you're perfect. Oh, I like this one better. Because this one is only for this group here. It's not for that middle group. I could dwell on this forever, but please, is there somebody here who gets a hold of this? I mean, it transforms your life. I don't mean you just, you know, kind of see it intellectually. But I mean, you're actually like, wow! Is anybody like that? Good. Very good. Anyone else? Good. 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 Anyone else? Yeah. That's strong, Kath. That's strong. That's strong. Anyone else? This is good news. Now, you're not condemned because you don't get it, but get it. Get the tape. Listen to it a billion zillion times till you get a hold of it, that there is no good thing dwelleth in you. Even after you're a Christian, you can just fall back. You started in the spirit, perhaps, but you went back to the flesh. Because church is that way. Church will take Christians and turn them back into pagans, who are just well-behaved pagans. That's all. And you started in the spirit. Who has bewitched you? Who has witchcrafted you? You started in the spirit. Why are you now ending up in the flesh? This is not up to you. You're not supposed to do anything. He did it all. How can you add something to perfect? If it's already full, if it's already complete, if it's already everything, you can't add to it or subtract from it. Now, let's say you're here. Repent. But the repent is not go back to that. It's go over to here and say, God, sorry, I goofed up. I sinned. I completely messed up. Forgive me. And he will. All the people had to do, when the wrath of God fell from heaven on all the wicked people, if just one had said, Father, I can't blaspheme you like my friends are doing. I know I'm guilty. He would have been saved like the thief on the cross. He would have been saved. God would have stopped everything. So, oh, don't pour any more vials out right now. This one wants to come in. He's now looking to my mercy. He remembers my mercy. But not one repented. That shows you something. God knows what he's doing. They all blasphemed God. They all cursed God. They all said, yeah, it's too much. It's too much. It's horrible. You're a horrible God. I hate you. Hey, that's okay. You should do that in this world rather than in the next. It'd be better if you get that taken care of tonight, today, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No good will ever come from you, ever, 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 ever. You're just a branch. He's the vine. The vine doesn't even produce it. The branch certainly doesn't produce it. It's the roots. It's the Father. It's the love of the Father that causes the good news to come to this one right here. You're dead. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remember Jesus said that? Jesus said that. You can't do anything without Jesus, but Jesus couldn't do anything without the Father. He said, the good works that I do, I don't do them. The Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. The Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. I'm not doing my own works. I'm doing the Father's will. His Father's will is to bring you all the way from the basement all the way up to the top floor. You're not the top floor of the building. You can't get up. There are no elevators that go up to the top floor from the fifth floor, or the sixth floor, or the 18th floor. The only way you can get up to the top floor is go out of the basement. You have to go all the way down in the basement, and then there's just one elevator there, and it's just, shoo, goes right up right away. Whoop. It's an Otis elevator. It goes straight to the top. It's just right there. No quivering, no shaking. You're right there. Oh, I'm here. So you can't go up floor by floor by floor by floor. You can't go up through the law. You can't go up by increments. You're either pregnant or you're not. You're either a Christian or you're not. You're either born again or you're not. You're either in love with Jesus or you're not. That's all. Period. Over. And when a good work comes forth from you, you don't forget. You just go, hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's all Jesus. I don't have to be sincere. I don't have to be honest. I don't have to be anything. Jesus Christ is my honesty. He's my everything. He's my all in all. This is too good. Anyway, it just goes on and on. And I'm going to pick up next time because there's a couple of verses that I really want to get into, like in, I love 12. I've got to quit here, but I love 12. It says, but this man, this man, but this man, but this man, what did he do? He offered once for all, forever. No more goats and bulls and, you know, annual things and so on. This is eternal, for all time, forever. For everybody, whosoever will. Even for hypocrites. Did you know that even for hypocrites? You remember when they killed him on the cross, all those hypocrites? You know what he said? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. He was even ready to forgive them too. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit to say, he'll never forgive me now because I lied. No, no, no. He'll forgive anybody. You can be a hypocrite. He'll even forgive hypocrites. He doesn't care. Be anything you want to be, but you are nothing without him. Just take his mercy. Be cheap. Don't pay. Come without money. Buy. How can you come without money? Well, that's God's good news, is you just can go for free. Ah, it's free day. Six Flags, completely free. Everybody can come and ride all you want, you know, play, have a good time. Did you know that Jesus Christ, that's the only way to enter heaven, is free? You can't get in by law. You can't get in by law. Freedom, when you have freedom, there is no law. There is no law. I don't believe in the law. Sorry. The law is a shadow. Now, it's good until the perfect comes. Then, away with the law. So Jesus replaced that law. He said that law has been fulfilled and perfected. And this is the only way you can stand before God. You'll never come to God through that one or that one. Both of those fail. The law condemns both of those. Because you're under the law. The law of sin and death. You sin, you die. Now, then I want to get to verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies. Oh, man. We have boldness just to go right into the presence of God. Hi, God. You see this snot running down my nose? I'm going to hug you anyway. And you just, and parents love that. They love it when their snotty-nosed little brats get up in their mud all over them and on his new white robe. He loves that. And, you know, I would go, hey, that guy's got dirt on him. And God goes, ah, that's my boy. That's my Jim. That's Jim. Little snotty nose. And he loves me. Is anybody like that?
Yes.
You know, have you ever seen kids with two candles coming right down there like that? And, you know, and parents, or sometimes little kids will irp, you know, and the, you know, the mother's not paying attention, the little kids are irping out. I'll see that. I go, it's irping, you know, I mean, I don't want to see that. It's like, clean that up, get that cleaned up. And the mother just kind of goes something like this and just keeps talking. I mean, she's not even that concerned that you were bothered by that because he irps every day on mom, you know, so what's the big deal? You know, it's nothing. Do y'all see? That's the way we, God is. His daddy. He's your father in heaven. Stop doubting him. Little kids don't even think. Gosh, it'd be helpful if you wouldn't. It'd be helpful if you'd stop thinking. You are too smart. You are too arrogant. You are too proud. You are too brilliant. Oh, how brilliant you are. You can outsmart God? I don't think so. Just be one of these and then get one of these. This is the only group that he loves. This group doesn't even exist. In the eyes of God, I know in the eyes of man this group exists. But in the eyes of God, that group doesn't exist. That's a nobody. That is nothing. That is just that person right there. You're just lying. All you've done is sinned and then added lying to it. Pretending. You're just faking. Doesn't fool God at all. But we have a new and living way through the blood, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, for the blood of Jesus. I tell you, boy, that is so exciting. That blood covers me. Whenever God sees me, he sees the blood. Ah, Jim's got the blood of Jesus. I didn't see Jim. I see Jesus, one of Jesus' Jim guys. So, he's just so pleased with me all the time. The Father himself loveth you. For the Father himself loveth you. For the Father himself loveth you. Will you let God love you? Stop helping him. Stop being nice. Stop being kind. Stop being a good person. Just let God love you. Unconditional. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Aren't you glad I'm your pastor?
Amen.
What a wonderful pastor. I mean, I just think it's wonderful. What an answer to prayer. I don't take any of that seriously. I'm serious about that. I don't care. But you ought to, because go to some other place where you have the pastor you want. Because I am a good pastor, and I don't care about anything. But you want the truth. That alone will set you free. Those big fancy churches, they'll fall apart. I'm telling you, they're going to fall apart. Because they don't want the truth, because then they know they will only have little piddly people like we have here. Piddly people. Say it, I'm a piddly person. Because you haven't even told anybody else how wondrous it is, because you know you'd be embarrassed. They bring them, you know. It's just like, man, if they come here, they won't be able to handle it. Because he upside downs everything. No, I don't. I right side it up. I put it on the right side, which is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God loves sinners. No, it's no big deal. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is where you want to be, a miserable person. Are you a complainer and a griper? Be a good one. Be a good one before God. God, here I am, your griper, your complainer. Woohoo! You know, enjoy yourself. When you're miserable, enjoy being miserable. Have a good Christian miserable enjoyment. Amen? He doesn't care. These are all in his family. He wants those to be saved, those to be saved, everyone to be saved. God desires not the death of any sinner. They're both sinners. They're just two versions of the same thing. It's just this one is a lot more effort. You know, too much effort. This is a very serious group right here. This one's not very serious. But this was a serious group. Serious. Well, I tried. I'm doing my best. I'm reading my Bible every day. I'm going to church every week. Tithing. You know, I'm witnessing to people. I'm doing what you ought to do. Of course, I'm miserable. But I'm going to say that it's wonderful, so I'll lie. You know, they're not happy. Remember Jesus' first sermon? Happy. Happy is the man that's poor in spirit. Happy is the man that mourns. Happy is the man that is reviled against and hated and persecuted. Happy. Happy, happy, happy. Happy, happy, happy. Happy, happy, happy. The Sermon on the Mount is nothing but a happiness sermon. Why? Because that's good news to that guy that's unhappy. So the unhappy are happy. All right, I've got to close in prayer. Margaret's here.